Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this morning as we gather to worship you, to glorify your name. Open our hearts and our minds to your word and your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel so distant from you, but and tall, so I guess that's okay for today. What a joy to be here with you this morning, and I don't want to forget to bring greetings from our bishop, Bishop Wall, who is on sabbatical this summer. Also, he kind of broke his sabbatical because he did stuff here and there and helped ministries as we have a lot of guests over the summer. Just last week, we finished a large gathering. The ELCA mission developers, like mission starters, were in our territory. We host 450 of them for a whole week. So you can tell we are exhausted. So he came out and helped a little bit. And greetings from your sisters and brothers. So today, this weekend is the last weekend of the summer, and before the students or children go back to school. And it's also time for cookouts, correct? And some of you already have planned. So the food is on our mind. Hopefully not this morning, as we sit here. But where we eat, what we eat, how much we eat, when we eat, and who we eat always says something about our identity as a community or as a family or as a person. Food plays a major role in Bible. Jews celebrate liberation from Egypt with a Passover meal. Many of their 613 commandments deal with dietary guidelines. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine at the wedding party, so there was food involved there too. The Gospels speak of the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and the Great Supper, all materials, signs that signifies spiritual realities. So there are stories about feeding multitudes, eating with kind of dirty utensils before they wash their hands, fasting, and foods that are ritually clean or unclean. What kind of meat one could eat? Those are in the Bible. So food plays a major role in the scripture. But Luke's gospel for this week is only one of several stories that Jesus told in which food is a metaphor for power that builds or destroys human community. So Jesus often ate with fringe people, so much so that his detractors disparaged him as a drunkard or glutton. For those religiously kind of meticulous person of his day, to eat with the quote dirty persons defiled you and made you impure before both God and humanity. But Jesus ate with religiously zealous and socially powerful people. That is where we find him today in this gospel. So he ate with those who are not wanted, but those who are also have a social status. When Jesus was eating with a prominent Pharisee, he noticed something about the guest and something about the host also. The guest at the party clamored for a place of honor in table to be seen at the right eatery with the right people, and all these behaviors are what we are inclined to do, right? I mean, if we are to choose.
Why not? Correct?
Yeah, why not? Our gospel lesson today is rather like one of those travel guides. In it, Jesus prepares us for a world that is different from the one to which we are accustomed to. I mean, most of you might have traveled. I had a little bit of traveling to do too. I lived in Europe and lived here. I traveled around our synod. So I see how people worship, but most often how people eat is different. In Ethiopia, you use the natural fork, the hand, your hand. But in Peru, or to use hand, to touch your hand of food with your hand, is really absolutely no. So where the dietary table manners can be something in one culture and it's totally different in another culture, correct? So you might have seen or encountered or maybe even messed up at some places. But Jesus is preparing us for a banquet larger than those things. He is preparing us for the day we will sit down at the table in the kingdom of God. Amen? He is giving us some practical tips how not to offend or how to avoid embarrassing ourselves when invited to sit at God's table. He is telling us how things work in the kingdom. When Jesus tells how things work in the kingdom of God, we need to remember he is calling us to start living by the kingdom of God rules now. Not sometime in the future, but now. As Christians, we have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Well, that's probably not a good metaphor. But we are in the world, but we are also chosen for the kingdom that is about we are inheriting or we are already inherited. So we are already there, but not yet. Correct? That's the word that I used from my teacher. So. But Christ calls us to love our neighbor and to pray for our enemies. In the gospel lesson, a leader of the Pharisee invited Jesus for a dinner, and Jesus noticed how those guests were kind of having their running around and to have a good seat. You have seen at the business lunch on and civic clubs and staff meetings, people want to sit where they can be seen and they can see. They want to sit next to someone important, someone who might become a customer or a client or someone who has a friendly face. Nobody wants to sit at the table in the back. At the back, you can't see or you can't hear sometimes. You might have felt maybe at the airport, similar feelings. I mean, you are probably one of those first class travelers. But when you walk in, there's some people who sit in front, correct? They have wider seat and they get before you and they get off the plane before you. And so how do they get there? How much do they pay to sit on the front? I mean, you have some questions. I mean, you might have not said out loud. But there are people who will tell us how to do that, correct? There are books looking out for number one, the secret of airline upgrades and the secret of how to get to be number one. I mean, there are self-help books. And they are bestsellers too. Every bookstore has those books. They are hot sellers. Everyone's to get ahead. Everyone's to be important. We want to be recognized. But Jesus has a twist on us. When you are invited by anyone at a marriage feast, don't sit in the best seat. And we heard the lesson, so I'm not going to repeat that. So that someone better than you may come behind you, and I mean, it's an embarrassment to say, this is not your seat, get out, right? I mean, I don't want to be that. I don't want to. That would be embarrassing. Excuse me. That is for Miss Jones or Mr. So-and-so's seat. It's not a good one. But when you are invited, Jesus says, go and sit at the lowest place. Who would choose that? That is the opposite to the culture, correct? That isn't the way we do things. This is antithetical of how college admission works, for example. I'm into the college admission because my daughter is the senior this week, like Connor. So we are into college admission and that. So when you are advised, you have to highlight your strengths and talk about your accomplishments and skills, and name your awards and elevate yourself to stand among the many other highly competent applicants, correct? That's how we do. No one emphasizes failure and or weakness as a means of getting a job or getting into college, do we? No. The apparent goal is to show that we are on the top of our game, our field, our school. Jesus, however, flips the scripts of saying, one should aim to go as low as we can go. We can try. We probably will fail because we want to be ahead, correct? Read any of the books on how to get ahead, and none of them will advise us to sit back, expecting someone to notice us and to bring us to the front. But Jesus isn't preparing us for ordinary things. He is preparing us for the greater banquet, for dinner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the music by celestial band and the service of the angelic host. Amen? He is extending an invitation to an event so wonderful that our grandest ballroom will seem cheap by comparison. In attendance will be faithful from the beginning of the time and to the end of the years. There won't be a bad seat in that place because Abraham and Sarah will be there. Moses and David, King Solomon and apostles will be sitting there. Jesus tells us how to prepare for this time. He tells us to do something special for God. It doesn't sound Lutheran when I say that, because we emphasize more of the grace, not the doing part, correct? But something special stems from God's particular love for those who need, for the poor, for the crippled, for the lame, for the blind. You can add the list to those. Jesus tells us to help those vulnerable people. He goes even farther. He tells us to invite these people to our table. Treat them with respect. Make them our honored guests. There is nothing wrong with writing checks for charities, but Jesus tells us to give them, to go farther, and he tells us to get involved personally with those people, to extend our friendship as we give our journey. There is a man by the giant where I go for groceries, and I got to know him. I mean, he sits and begs. And one, I sat with him and we chatted for a while how he ended up there. And he said, at the end, he said, thank you. Most people don't notice us. I'm not talking about the best thing I did in life, but Jesus helped us to notice people around us. May God help us to do so. He invites us to start following the rules of the kingdom now while we are still living in this kingdom. And so the word of God for this morning is that if we are one of those people who thinks we deserve the best place at the banquet, so to think again and to be humble. And if we are one of those people who think we have been told we don't, we only deserve the lowest place at the banquet, to think again. We need to be strengthened. We need to accept our privilege, status as a child of God. Amen?
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 Yeah, Jesus calls us to today to sit at the Eucharistic table to understand and accept that although we are all unworthy, we are still chosen. That although we are all full of pride and judgment, we are all first, last, and always God's beloved people. So he invites us today to remember that all of us have the potential to be lifted up and exalted by him who loves us and shows us the way. So thanks be to God, and let the people of God say,
Amen. Amen.